interviewing Margaret Ferris. Now, Ms. Ferris, where were you born and when were you born and where?
I was born in Johnson City, Tennessee, January the 21st, 1921.
And who were your parents and where were they from?
They were from Johnson City, and my mother was Willie Mae Leonard Carson, and my father was Michael Allison Carson.
And what brought you to Roanoke and to Raleigh Court?
My father was with the Western Union, and he was transferred to the office here in Roanoke in 1933.
And so you were then a young girl?
I was 12 when we came to Roanoke.
And where did you all live when you first got here?
Out in Raleigh Court.
What street?
We were on Carver Road.
Oh.
And I've been in that area ever since.
Now, what is your address now?
2319 Laburnum.
Is that Laburnum Avenue?
Avenue.
And so you grew up, or your teenage years were on Carter? What address on Carter?
Well, we lived in two places. One was, at then it was 7-Eleven. And then we moved around onto Avenel. And that was, I think that was 601 Avenel then. That was before anything, where Patrick Henry now was a pasture.
Uh-huh.
So it was a while back.
Well, you've lived in a lot of places in Raleigh Court.
Almost
your whole life.
My whole life. And then when my husband went to war, I was back on Carver Road. And when he came home, we bought the house that I'm in now.
Now, where did you go to school?
Woodrow Wilson in Jefferson. I was ready to go to middle school, junior high, when we came to Rome. And then I went to the two schools here.
And then tell me about, give me your husband's name and how you met him and when that was.
He was Everett Harold Ferris. And I dated his brother before I dated him. That's how I met him. And we went together 6 years before we were married. I started dating him when I was 16. And we were married for 6 years. He died on his 81st birthday. So that's my life.
Now, before you got married, were you working?
No, I was in, I went to, after I went, got out of high school, I went to Roanoke College. And he graduated from Roanoke College. And he had such a low draft number that he wanted to go to medical school, and they wouldn't take him in medical school. If they weren't in their second year, they would take him out for their year's draft. So his draft number came up, and he was drafted in July of 1941.
So how long have you all been married?
We had been married 56 years.
But when he was drafted, how long had you been married?
We were married in February the 11th, 1943. So it's...
So he went off to war, and then he came home and you got married.
No, we were married before he went to war.
Oh, I'm sorry.
In 43. We were married in February of 43, and he was sent overseas in October of 43. And he went to England, and from England across Europe and ended up in Germany at the end of the war.
Where did you all live in your early married life in Roanoke?
In Raleigh Court. We were living with Mother and Daddy until we bought the house that we're in.
Now,
he got home in October of 45.
And do you know the history of your house, how old it is, or anything about it?
It was built, started in 39 and finished in 40, just before the war. And the lady that built it lived in it, and then she had two sons and they were in service, so she sold the house and we bought it. So as we're just the second family that's ever been in it, or has ever owned it.
And you moved into that house when?
April the 9th, 1946. But Harold was with the railroad, so we transferred a few times in between that, but we never sold the house. We kept it. And then when he was transferred back here, he said, I'm going to stay here, and if they tell me to move again, I'm going to retire early. So we were in it when he retired, and that's where we stayed.
Now, what did he do for the railroad?
He was in the motive power.
And
in the car department.
Were you working outside the home?
No, I worked for a while as a secretary at the Second Presbyterian Church. That was during the war while he was gone. And when he came home, I didn't... The only work I ever did, his brother was a dentist, and I worked in his office for a little while his wife was having a baby. I didn't really work. I answered the phone and made appointments and worked the sterilizer and the things that anybody could do.
Now, did you all have children?
We had one son, born in October of 46. And that's all I had, just the one son.
Now, tell me what your house is like, the style of the house.
It's colonial.
Uh-huh. And keep the garden? Do you have a garden, flowers, or...?
Not anymore. I used to, but the last couple of years I have not done in the yard what I would like to do. Now, we always had flower beds and, you know, just what you would normally do, but we never had a garden.
Now, tell me about what Laburnum was like when you all first moved there.
At the end, we're on that long block. At the end of that block was the city limits. So on beyond that, it was a pine thicket. That's where all the houses are and where the Roselands Baptist Church. And as they started building, the houses built up out there. And then, I can't remember when they moved the city limits, but anyway, we were right at the end of the hill there was the city limits. So, and Laburnum has just built up, and the street now, I'm the oldest person on the street. Dot Sharpley is the second oldest. So we're the old ladies, and I laugh, and I'm the lollipop lady.
What's that mean?
You know, these little dum-dum lollipops. All the children come to my house to get lollipops. So I know all the children, and that's why I'm happy on Laburnum, because we have all ages.
Now, when you all first moved there, what you're saying is the countryside was very close by.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of that block, it was just country. And then, of course, there were a lot of lots that the houses hadn't been built on. Now, across the street from us, there were two lots that hadn't been built on. And the house where Lib lives, they built on that in 48. And, you know, as time came, people were building the houses, and most of them, a lot of them are colonials.
So when you all first moved into your house, there were probably bigger spaces between the houses, is that what you're saying?
No, not really, because the house next to us was one that had been built, oh, probably in the late 20s. And the house next to it was the same. And then there were two in between there that had been built later. And then there were these big square brick houses, what they call them, the square bricks, that everybody in Roanoke had one. And across the street from us, there were several older houses. But no, it was, there were plenty of people on the run when we got there. And then you had to walk all the way to Grandin Road to catch a streetcar.
Oh.
And the bus finally came around within a block. And then it went all the way around and went back down the hill to the highway.
How about Brandon Avenue? Was it very busy?
Yes, but not anything like it is now. And there are several places that have been built down there since we since we've been in our house. Well, you know, in 60 years, a lot of things happen.
Well, tell me about the neighborhood, the life on your block. Did you all get together and visit?
We have.
Back in the old days and now, but.
Well, back then, you knew everybody, but you didn't. You would visit, but you didn't do like they do now. We have, the 4th of July, they block off that whole block, and we have a block party. And we have, most any time, they'll have an Easter egg hunt for the children, and then they'll have Valentine parties, and they'll have Halloween parties. But the 4th of July is when we really have a big time. The fire trucks come from down on the Memorial and lead the parade all the way up the street, and we have at the other end of the far end of the block is where they put up the food tables, and we have, you've never seen the like of food in your life. And we put the firemen up at the end, so if they get a call, they can leave. And occasionally they've had to leave, but they come back and finish eating. And it's just everybody that's ever lived there doesn't want to leave. So that's why I'm happy. I don't want to be anywhere else.
It sounds like the kind of place where if somebody has an operation or something, everybody brings food.
You know about it. And it's the thing my son said, he said, Mother, I don't worry about you being there, because if anything happens, and if you don't, now if I don't see Dot's curtains open at a certain time in the morning, I call and want to find out what's wrong.
That's Dot Sharpley.
And Lib was the same way. If her kitchen curtains weren't open by a certain time, I'd call and say, are you all right? And we'd watch out for each other. So it's great, and if I need anything, I know I can call and say I need help.
Now, give me your son's name and tell me where he is.
He's Michael Harold Ferris, and he lives on Crossbow in Hunting Hills. He's one of the vice presidents at J.M. Turner, and right now his main headache is trying to get Patrick Henry put together. But I went through the, you know, they had open house for the, when they started right after Christmas. And that is a perfectly beautiful building. It is something that Roanoke has never had before. And it is absolutely marvelous what they are doing to that high school. So anyway, that's where he gets lost.
Now, does he have children?
He has two daughters. His wife teaches at Patrick Henry. One of his daughters is an anesthesiologist at a Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem, and her husband is a vascular surgeon. And they have two children. They have a little boy that'll be 6 in June, and a little girl will be 2 in September. I have great-grandchildren.
Wonderful.
Well, I'm real pleased about it. Of course, we don't get to see them very often.
Tell me about the other granddaughter.
She got married last June, and she lives in Arlington. And she works, I have no idea what, she does work in a computer office. I mean, that's her thing.
Uh-huh.
And her husband is a computer expert.
Now, tell me about the businesses and churches or anything else that you have been active in Raleigh Court?
Well, I belong to Calvary, but I go to the Cave Spring Methodist Church with my children, because if I don't see them on Sunday, I don't see them too often. So I have been going to the Methodist Church. That's the Baptist going to the Methodist Church, but they've accepted me. And I don't belong to organizations like I used to.
And did, in the years past, did you do any shopping down on Grandin Road or go to the dentist down there or any of that?
No. I shopped in, when I moved here in 1933. That was a shopping center then. We had grocery stores, we had a dime store, we had all kinds of that little dress shop. And that's what I miss now, and we had two drug stores.
That was right on Grandin Road?
Right, in that one block on Grandin Road. And it was convenient, and, you know, it was just where everybody went. And we had a couple of grocery stores there that you could get to anytime. And let me see if there's anything else I can think of.
Did you go to the theater very much?
Yes, we used to. And that was when you got in for a quarter. So,
did you take your little boy there too?
Not too much, because when Mike was born, they lived in Richmond. So I didn't have him too much when he was little, until they moved back to Roanoke in 86. They were in Reston for a while and then in Richmond. So I didn't have him all the time when he was little. But we got to keep him frequently, and I'm glad I did.
Now, how about do you remember the library when it was on Memorial?
Mm-hmm.
Did you go there?
Yes, we did. That's where we go. Sometimes we had meetings. They would let us have meetings in there.
And do you go to the new library on Grandin?
No, I don't do much work at the library anymore.
Now, I want you to tell me about the Civic League and your, well, any other Raleigh Court activities you've been involved in.
No, this was the main thing, that the Civic League.
Yeah.
And when it got started, Ann Glenn, they used to live in this big house across on the corner, that English tutor.
On which street?
On, where am I? On Grandin Road. She was one of the ones that got started, and then Jim Harvey, he was on council, and he was there. And then there were two or three others that thought it was a good idea. And so Ann was a great one to get things going. So she got started, and we had, well, we just got people together that were interested, and we worked at it and got it started. And I believe the first meeting that we had was in the Radical Methodist Church.
And about what year was that? Do you remember? 78 or something?
Probably it was in the 70s. I was trying to think.
And were you, what was your, did you have an office in the Civic League? Mm-hmm. I mean, did you have
No, I didn't do anything but just help and do what had to be done and could be done, and make phone calls. Or
who was the first president?
Ann Glenn. I believe Jim Harvey. I believe he was the first, and he was on council, I think, at that time. But I believe he was the first, and then Ann came behind him.
What led you all to get organized, to organize a Civic League? Was there any issue or anything that was brewing at the time?
I can't think of anything that was pushing us. It was just something that seemed like a good thing to do, to get everybody together so we could see if there weren't some things we could do. And it was really, and I'm sorry that I was trying to think of somebody who, I can't think of anybody right now that was here when Anne was. But she was full of good ideas, and she had belonged to a lot of things in the city, you know, in different places. So she had a good idea of how to get things going and who to say, you do this and you do this. So that's kind of the way we got started.
And did you see, in those first years of the Civic League, did you all see some improvements, in any kind of improvement? What were some things that you saw?
Because everybody wanted this area to be good. And we didn't have any trouble getting things. The first thing I guess we had a discussion about was when they wanted to put this health center over here on the corner of Windsor and Brandon. And they thought that would be the worst thing in the world.
That's then we got the nursing home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we got to think about it, and it seemed they finally absorbed that all right. But things, if something came up, there was discussion about it, and everybody put their 2 cents worth in, and we didn't have any trouble getting people to speak their minds. And I think that's why it stayed active for as long as it has.
I wondered about, we wanted to get some recollections of people about World War II, and what changed, did anything change in the neighborhood as far, you know, because of the war?
No, because all of our husbands were gone. I mean, there were, you know, a lot of the girls were home with their families, but, and we used to come to the Presbyterian church here because it was close and we could walk here.
Uh-huh.
And Dr. Zeb Robinson was the minister. And I don't know, for some reason, this was just a place we could all get to, and a lot of times if there was any kind of a meeting, this was where it would be. And I don't know, and our entertainment was to get ourselves dressed up, and that's when you wore a hat to dinner. We would all go to Hotel Roanoke and have dinner, ride the bus, because that's the only way you had to get around, catch the bus and come home and feel like we'd had a night out. And it was, that was the most exciting thing that we did around here. But, oh gosh, there were about 6 of us that our husbands were gone, so that was all we had to do.
And then moving on into the 50s and 60s, did Raleigh Court experience any part of the civil rights movement, school desegregation or anything?
I don't remember. We were in Indiana when I was so proud of Roanoke. There was no commotion. They accepted integration. And in Indiana, they didn't accept it that well.
Uh-huh.
And I laughed and I said, and the Southerners accepted it. And you didn't hear much about it from here. I mean, it was done, and it was going to be done, and that was it. But I was real proud of Roanoke, not being here and somebody saying something to me, and I could say, mm-hmm. Because when you're in a place and you're about the only Southerner there, you kind of have to laugh about it. Does she mean you?
I don't know. You know, one of the questions that we have on our list here is, at what point do you think Roanoke experienced it the best of times?
Oh, let me see. I don't know. Roanoke has always been moving and going, and people were interested in it, and new things have been happening. I think it's just always been going along. Has anybody else said that to you?
Yeah. Yes.
I just don't think we ever had a time that everybody wanted Roanoke to be better than Richmond.
How about the name of Grandin? Do you know where the name Grandin comes from?
No, and I should know that.
Well,
it seemed like I read somewhere the other day.
And also Raleigh Court. We were wondering, and I think some other people were looking into where that came from.
I don't know, but this is from down here at the Methodist Church. There were, I don't know, are those brick columns still there? Or do the tailors? Well, anyway, at one time they had brick columns right there in front of the Methodist Church, and it had Raleigh Court, you know, a plaque on those. And that's where Raleigh Court, Virginia Heights was down where the, our little village was.
So that was Virginia Heights, and Raleigh Court really began up at the, at the Methodist Church.
Methodist Church, and went on out.
I see.
And the streetcar used to go out to about where the, not quite to where the library is. And there was a bus, a shuttle bus, that met the streetcar and took people on out to Grandin Court. So we had a lot of growing to do.
And here's another question. Tell us about some of your fondest or earliest memories in your home or in your neighborhood.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. When? From the beginning or?
Anytime. Anything that just, for instance, you were talking about the ladies putting on your hats and going to the Hotel Roanoke, or anything.
Well, that was, there was nothing to do during the war. If you had a car, you got 3 gallons of gas a week, and you couldn't drive. You had to save that to go to the grocery store or emergencies. I don't know. We have always been where you could get a neighborhood to get home. When we were growing up, we used to get together in the daytime and play bridge. And we had, some of our families had side porches, and we could put the card tables up out there and play bridge. And then we would have picnics, or we would all go home and see what we had, and everybody get together and have a meal at somebody's house. And that's what we did for entertainment. It was, we didn't have a whole lot to do.
So you lived in other places when your husband was transferred by the railroad. How many years altogether do you think you were gone?
We were gone not quite 12. We left here in 58 and went to Winston-Salem.
Oh.
And we were there 2 years. And then we went to Petersburg. And we were there 4 years. And from Petersburg, we went to Moberly, Missouri. And we were there about 15 months. And from there, we went to Frankfort, Indiana. And we were there for 15 months. And then from there, we went to Fort Wayne and went to Frankfort, Indiana from Fort Wayne. And we were there about 2 years, and then we were transferred back to Roanoke.
And what did you do with your house during those years?
Rented it.
So you kept it. You always hoped that you would get back here?
Well, we knew we would. We knew that this was where we wanted to settle.
You know, I don't think I asked you about brothers and sisters.
I was an only
child.
I was an only child, and I had an only child.
Uh-huh.
So I don't have any family. My son and his wife and their two daughters and their husbands, that is my family. So I said it's...
Do you have any advice for Raleigh Court? Or
please leave it like it is. I don't think it needs to change. Have you heard that before? I don't know. There's just something about it that's to me, it just seems right. But see, I've been here so many years that I don't know whether I should say anything or not. But
you seem real comfortable where you are.
I am.
You know your neighbors.
No, we know our neighbors. We know the neighborhood. We know, have an idea of what goes on around in the neighborhood. And it's, I think things are pleasant. So I'm comfortable.
That's great. Well, thank you, Ms. Ferris.
My name is Margaret.
Thank you, Margaret.